Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Yeah.
What a wonderful song we heard. Do you know where it's coming from, that scripture? Psalm 103. And I was actually reading that scripture with a melody, and then I kind of stood up and because it's so amazing statement and didn't realize this continues a little bit more. And especially His mercy and grace that we actually studied during our Sabbath school. And one of the lesson verse was, Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22. It says, it is of God's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fails not. So the fact that we are still able to breathe and think is a miracle. As we have been studying and searching the truth of the Bible, and truth how God left His loving evidence and compassion to all the nature and even in our body. And it's so amazing that the message of the Bible is, please leave, leave, not go to the other way, dying. That's where it started with the Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Because the message and mission of Jesus Christ was that He came to give us the life even more abundantly. So there's no other way that we can look for the life eternal except the Word of God. And so as we delve into the session number 4, the title is The Works of the Devil. We're going to connect that with some health issue. So let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask Your mercy again, the eternal mercy that we are so grateful that we have in Jesus Christ. Give us peace. Give us a true meditation on Your good works for us. Please guard my lips and thoughts, and guard the heart of this congregation that You love, so that we all united together to praise Your name on this happy Sabbath, especially for those who came here for the first time. Bless their steps of the future. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. As heaven read the scripture today, and that was actually the part of the scripture that I'm going to continue to read. And let's see here. So today's actually title is The Works of the Devil, Works of the Enemy. But I'm talking about the cancer. And there's a comparison between normal cell and the cancer cells. And we'll discuss more in detail. But the one that the scripture, memory scripture reading was the scripture coming from Matthew chapter 13, where this whole book has some different parable of the heaven that Jesus is talking about. And one of the parables we are thinking today is wheat and tares. And you probably heard many times. And so the master said he put the good seed, and something happened, and there was a bad seed, and it looked like a tear. And so I don't know whether you see the difference between those two plant. And so here's a wheat and tear. What are the differences here? And all the things seems to be very, very similar, except the color of the grain. The wheat on your on my right is what kind of color?
Brown.
It's brown, and the tear is close to the black. And so it appears everything are similar, but their harvest time, it will show their true color. And therefore, the master said, no, why no? Because if you plucked it right now, then it will harm the wheat. Therefore, let's wait. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. But both grew together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, first gather together the tares and bind them in the bundle and to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So this is very easy to understand, right? And then a little bit later in the same chapter, Jesus is talking about the interpretation of what he just said as a parable of heaven. Therefore, as you understand, when we study Bible, a lot of things explained right next to the context. So Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible, not any pastor, elders, or theologians, or church as a dogma. No, Bible is self-explained, because Bible actually points us that we are dead in sin. And how the dead person tried to interpret the living Bible. So that's why we need to understand that concept. So Jesus said that those who sow the good seed is Son of Man, and the field is world, and the good seeds are son of the kingdoms, but the tares are the son of the wicked one. And the enemy who sowed them is what? It's the devil. And then what? Harvest is end of the ages. So therefore, even though we as a Christian, we are sometimes very saddened because we see there's an evil going on. There's an unjust going on. There's suffering going on. And then we are asking, how come God, you let these things happening? But the answer here, one of the answer here is that you cannot expect that God will judge each time, because that way God does not want the good seed will be uprooted. It's for our protection that God let those two forces grow together, so that there, at the time of harvest, everything is so clear. And therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. So specifically, Jesus mentioned that the final gathering into the barn or into the fire place will be not now, but the end of the time. And so so we know that this world is ongoing problem after problems. It will be getting worse and worse. But there is final events where there will be a burning up of this, what's going on in this world. And that's how God is able to create the new heaven and new earth in the Bible. So we see a lot of tragedy going on. And recently, do you know where this happened? It's my home country, Korea. And 179 people, they all died except the two crew members who are sitting at the back. Somehow the fuselage was broken. And the one sitting at the back, they are alive, but all the rest of died. I had the one Adventist person who were there at that time, and he came up America, and I heard that there are actually two families of Adventists in that plane, and they died. And one of them is apparently was sick and went to our hospital and got healed. So he was so grateful. So he took his family and had some celebration, vacation, and coming home, and they had died. So we see a lot of questions that we can ask, like all this Bible throughout. God, how long do I have to wait? How come all this injustice going on? And this type of is very, very thoughtful question. And it is something you shouldn't afraid to ask to God. And God will lead you to the His message when you study the Bible. And this is a remnant. There are a lot of political issue here, but I'm not going to talk about those at this time. And then as in our neighbor state, you know, all these things, you know, 12,000 people, 12,000 houses, they just burned up just overnight. And, you know, 200,000 people evacuated. Think about that. 200,000 people are moving out of the place, all the traffic jams, and you probably can imagine. I don't know, you have some family, friends there. I have some friends, and the one I talked yesterday was, he lived a little bit outside, but the smoke is so bad, he couldn't stay there. So he went to the San Diego to stay with his son's place a little bit. And so these are the ones that are going on. Now, here we can see, this is the location of where the fire occurred. And especially with this, you know, the Pacific Palisade, where on the left of the corner, and this is one of the richest counties in California. A lot of Hollywood actors are living, and houses so expensive, and everything just overnight burned down to the ashes. And some people might say, "Wow, it's God's judgment for those people who are idols." They are collecting all the monies and all the wealth. And so we think, oh, God is good to judge them. If you ever thought that way, you are actually have totally changed your concept, because it is not God who did all these things. Because as we saw this parable, Jesus said, he let both grow together. And then when did he actually judge? At the end. And he judges with what? Not with the flood, but with the fire. That's for sure. But don't ever, you have to think a little bit different framework, because God's judgment is not make somebody push to the lake of fire. God's judgment is to come and see which is wheat and which is tare. He is coming to separate. According to the parable, we see that. So God's punishment is nothing but separation. He come to diagnose who has a right fruit in their life because of their connection with the Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. And who is the one that has the black fruit of the tare? So God's judgment, at least as we study this lesson, I mean, this quarter is amazing, God's love and justice. And today we all study the God's compassion. But I think we have to think about God's love will never end, even during the final destruction, final judgment. So how we can resolve that is very important. At least we Adventists, we don't think there is eternal fire. right? There's no eternal fire. Fire is the one that consumes everything. And if everything is burned up, then fire itself is what? It is gone. Because when Book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, there is no sin. There's no suffering. There's no tear. There's no pain. If that is the new heaven and new earth, I'm talking earth too, then how come eternal fire can continue to burn them up? And that's the one we have to really study with Bible and convince. And I'm so grateful that God's judgment is actually his mercy. And I actually share in my Sabbath school today, the wrath of God. What is that? That's another big subject. Today is a health lecture, so we cannot delve into that. But anyway, Bible is very clear that 2 Peter, the heavens and earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire. In other words, if you reserve something for future, it's not going to happen now. But all this earth and heavens are preserved because there is a pending fire coming up, and they're waiting until they are reserved until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then these are all the familiar verses, you know, but we just go over one more time. And here is a same context. There is a fervent heat. It melts elements. You know, the elements will melt with a fervent heat. So if the elements, what is element? It's a basic, you know, atomical or subatomical particles that hold this earth, that elements will be melted away. So God is preparing cleanup job before the new heaven and new earth. Therefore, God is not coming here to make some people to be garbage. I'm sorry to say that word, but this is true. God coming to see who is garbage or who is not. That's God's judgment, the way I look at it. Therefore, don't ever think God is the God of angry God who like to punish. And this is all we know, it's work of the devil. The fire and fervent heat. And the interesting thing is, whenever God is talking about this fire, he always, the message is to us. So when you know all these things will be resolved like that, what kinds of person you have to be? So we have to be living a godly life and holy life. That's what the Bible is talking about. So the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some counted the slacking, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but will all should be coming to repentance. Amen. So this is a continuation of the mission of Jesus Christ. So God does not want to any of us to be perished. Now, there is some confusion in this world now. A lot of people believe global warming, that will be a things that will happen to make this earth destroyed. No, it is God's burning, not the God's warming. I mean, not the global warming. You know, warming and burning is totally different. With a global warming, you can never melt the elements of this earth, but it's only burning that will happen. So this is where these days people who believe global burning is a lot minority. But I think truth never depends on the majority or minority. Truth is truth, according to what the Bible that I see. So we love the book Great Controversy. And I want you to really read that chapter 36. It's an impending conflict. That was right before the aims of a papacy. It's a very interesting book. And here it says, Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of what? Unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratory of the nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. So whatever happened in the whole nature, things happening, which will be more, getting worse and worse, think about this. It is not God who needs to be blamed, but it is the devil who needs to be blamed. So you have to be bold enough to say it is not God, but it is devil. Because this is the message we have to proclaim to defend God's character. Devil is a truth. He's a scientist to study the secret of the laboratory of the nature. So when you have a lot of this science articles, things like that, you have to really watch whether it is telling the truth or not. And here also it says that Satan has a control of all whom God does not especially guard. So we really need to come into the shelter of God. Do you keep the Sabbath, or actually Sabbath keeps you? You have to think about that. He will favor and prosper some people in order to further his own design, and he will bring trouble upon some others, and leading men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. So therefore, whenever we see all this human tragedy, it is not God who is doing that. There is somebody who behind, who was very successful to convince most of the people that it is God who does that. Therefore, when I first came to America many, many years ago, when we had a very small house, I think $12,000. Can you believe at the time? And I bought the policy, and when I look at that, oh, there's a fire policy. It says, oh, it's acts of God. It's not acts of God. It's an act of devil. Now, and he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. And even now he is at work. And in the accident and calamities by sea and by land, in great, what is next word? Conflagrations. I didn't use that word. I didn't understand that word. Anybody know what is conflagration?
Fire.
Fire. That conflagration is coming from the Latin words. That C-O-N means con is severe. It's severe. And flagration means flag, it's a blaze. So that's what it means. So actually, when I earlier read this, how come, you know, we see a lot of fire going on right now? Where's the devil? And because I didn't see fire here, but when I read that word, conflagration, so I had to look up dictionary. Wow, it was an intense fire. In fierce tornado and terrific hailstorm, in tempest and flood, cyclone, tidal waves, earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms. And then what he says, his visitation will be more frequent, more and more frequent, and disastrous. So what it means is not a scary statement. It is invitation that let's flee to God's forest. Let's go back to God and have our basic foundation rooted in the Bible. That's the message. Don't ever get scared, because when we come to our transition of our lifestyle, there's God's protections. And God is the one who knows your and my life, and when is the best time we rest in Jesus Christ. Because as Bible says, the end of the 300 messages, those who are sleeping in Christ, they're blessed. So let's not make any quick judgment. And we pray for those, whether who are rich or poor, but who lost because of because they become a victim of the natural disaster. It is not what God did. It is the devil what did. Now you understand what I'm talking about, this work of devils, because I have to share with you about cancer. Okay. Now, this is the fourth lecture. We've seen these slides. I want you to really memorize in your imagery, because this single cell, there's a nucleus, and the cytoplasm outside the nucleus and as a cell. And there's inside the nucleus, there are what we call chromosome. And this chromosome is as a collection of this small thin thread-like of protein, and we call it DNA. So it's kind of unwinding in the picture here, and we call those DNA. The one I want to emphasize is that histone. We heard histone. This histone is the one that is a switch of the gene, that makes a protein, or they turn off the protein. So when I was in medical school, I never heard about histone. This is mostly in a newer understanding of what we call epigenetics. We studied about that before. And so this gene has the location, certain distance of this DNA molecules, and that gene is where it is so important. This is where most of the human illness occur, because of the dysfunction or elimination of the gene, or shutting off the gene, or activate the gene, or inactivate it. All these things happening in that gene. And as you know, there are four letters in human genome that they discovered, which is their guanosine and cytosine, adenosine and thiamine. And I said, Adventists really can remember that, because GC, what a great general conference, at GC, ATGC. So they're all paired together. So with that, scientists now understand this mechanism can make a 3 million letters of the meaningful things. So talking about this construction of our body, rebuilding our body, there is a message you have to give. And it is because this mechanism, it can have 3 million letters. This is how our body is. Now, so we studied that this epigenetics. This is after genetics. Genetics, as we know, we inherit from our parents, and it stuck with that. And before epigenetic time, we all thought there's nothing I can do anything about my future, because my DNA is already established in my life. Of course, there are some like that. I born as a male. I didn't decide it. I cannot change it. It stuck with that, even though some people are trying to change these days. However, the epigenetic is telling that why your DNA is not your destiny, because there is a choice you can make. The choice will make influence in your gene. Gene is something you cannot see. But your choice, where is choice coming from? In your head. What kinds of idea, what kinds of opinion you have on your life? That makes all this gene to respond to that. And so I'll give some more example today, especially how the identical twin coming up. And so we discuss about this epigenetics, and then what? We talk about this brain wave, okay? The gamma brain wave and delta, delta brain wave and alpha. And we see here the alpha wave is ideal way where you have to be reflective and restful. And this is best wave where you know, when you pray to God. But when you are in a very hurry and tension and decision making, you know, pressure, then this wave is what? It's become more sharper, more frequent. And so when we are anger and we are fighting and we are debating, all these things ultimately is not a good for our thoughts, and that will affect our gene, and gene produce or not produce certain type of protein that is essential for our life. So this is basically what the epigenetic is talking about now. So I'm going to have some slides, video, and remember, it is something that not the real, because we still haven't made any camera to look inside the cell yet. But it is the mechanism that we studied, I mean, scientists studied, and the scientific artist made it. But it's very well done. Actually, it's coming from Korea. It's about short, though, okay? Now, this, I'm going to, those are yellow stuffs that are attaching, that is flickering. Those are where histone, as I said, the histone is where switch on and off. And this yellow one is the one I mentioned before, it's a methyl group, you know, CH3, carbon and three hydrogen, they put together, and they're the one who actually go into certain area of whole this DNA, go there, and then it turn off. So in other words, when you have cancer, and our body has a cancer-killing substance that make it, and then after that cancer cell is died, you don't need that activation. So this methyl group just come into that area and shut it off. Very energy-conserving and very meticulous. But think about, if a CH3, that methyl group, is in the whole space, where it knows to go where and when to go and how long to stay. Nobody knows. Your oncologist never knows. No doctor can figure this out. This is where the mystery is. There are so many different mysterious steps that all our body is working to make who am I and what I do. And therefore, the more you study about this, there's no way you cannot accept God, you're my creator. You made my body fearfully and wonderfully. I'm going to use my body for your glory, for your kingdom, expansion of your kingdom. That's how we have to say that. So think about this, especially these are the ones that is activating, working all day long. You know, I just amused just to watch that maybe 10 minutes or keep doing it, but we have to continue. So let me. So here, histone, okay? That histone, there are multiple histones there. So here, the video we saw is four of them connected together. They're spread. When they spread out, you have more exposure of the DNA material. The gene is more. It's longer, so they have more material coming, they're able to produce. When their job is done, they're all coming together. And when they're coming together, those methyl group coming into there, flying there, I don't know, flying or walking or swimming, but that, I mean, how can you figure out where to go? And how many of those needed there? Just like we studied last time, you know, this turtle, you know, it's going to one place to the other 2,000 miles, you know, without any experience, just born and going to their mother place. In other words, God is that much detailed God who intervened all this life form in the best way to glorify His plan, and that's the way I look at it. One more time, and then we'll move on. Look at that. So you see that as a short segment of the whole DNA slides that we just, you know, shared together, right? Now, this is obviously, you see the twin, but it's not just twin, it's identical twin. It's the same gene that they inherit from their parents. But about, you know, 7 years later, and this is the way they look. And then one shows there's scar tissue here, and the other one doesn't. And the one on the left, he is 3 months behind when both came out. And the one on the right side with the, the one on the left side with the scar, he started to have at the time, he was pictured about 6 years before, so like a 62-year-old, when he had some stomach problem, and then they found he had a cancer, so they get all his stomach out. So I didn't show you, but he only eat very small because he want to eat but cannot get in there because it's so small. But so, you know, this is where even though they start very, you know, start with equally and with the same cloth and the same food, same cribs next to each other, and everything was same, but as they continue to grow, and the only thing in this video, the one on the right side, he had a lot more stress because he was operating a company, and he had a lot of probably stress in that sense. I don't mean that you quit your company, okay? But in this particular case, that's what happened. Now, there's some article says, what disease do Americans fear the most? Actually, there are five different here, cancer, Alzheimer, heart attack, heart disease, and stroke, and diabetes. They're awfully bad disease. But when you're healthy, you always have some sort of, in your subconscious, the cancer. Because whenever somebody was pronounced cancer, diagnosed by the doctor, what is it? How they usually think, oh, I am a terminal. I'm a terminal now. But actually, think about this. We are all terminal, right? Whether you have a cancer diagnosis or not. As I think of my own life, am I really, what kind of life do I have? Am I, as I shared before in different occasions in this church, do I have a life that is dying? Or do I have a dying life, or I have a living death? You have to answer that. Because when baby was born the first day, he is one step closer to his or her death, right? So is that kind of life? It's an oxymoron that we have to define life with death. Or we define death with a life, because they're two cannot be mingled together in a way. These are all only can, in my estimation, can answer by coming to the source of the life. And why we are here? What's happening in my life? And so people are really fear about this, you know, this cancer things. Now, this is a shocking statement. One in two people will develop cancer in their lifetime. This is a study from the British. one every two, and there is man, and no, there is actually woman, I'm sorry. Man is one every three men, one every three men. So the cancer is I think it's really one of the top disease that is very fearful, because people think when you have cancer diagnosed, they lose their will to live. Oh, this is my end. See, we all know we are terminal, and in whatever form we have, we might die with that. Somebody who died with a heart disease, somebody died with a stroke, somebody who has Alzheimer's or lung cancer, or whatever, diabetes. But as we see, in a way, cancer is a blessing, because then you have a time to prepare your final death. It's not overnight, like heart attack. So you can reconcile with all the rest of people that you need to discuss. And so you cannot really always think negatively. There's always positive things too. But remember, this one in two people, this is a historical changes throughout the human history. Because most of the cancers are something you cannot really control except your lifestyle. But remember, like ultraviolet, that actually causes cancer. I mean, it's proven. And also, you know, cosmic rays is coming to us that can be cancerous. And how about like the oxygen we breathe in and out? This oxidizing agent also can be. We'll talk about that maybe in a near future. Only we can have our lifestyle change, but as statistics comes, you know, like we have 2 million new cases of cancer every year. Now, it is very interesting, the morphology of cancer and progress of the cancer is very similar to we call sin, S-I-N. Now, this is the earlier slides. What are the difference between the two, the way you look at here? The normal cell versus cancer cell. One is very uniform, right? Very uniform, at least inside the nucleus. However, the other cancer cell has what? More than one nucleus head. So basically, the difference between cancer cell and the normal cell is cancer cell is the one that has a problem with the chain of the command. So in other words, somehow they don't listen to higher up because they have many different ideas there. So they don't stop to grow when they should. And so our body all are commanded by the brain, and they all have a program how far you can grow. What if my left hand grow, 1 foot longer than my right? It's not going to be. So you have to basically grow together and able to understand when to stop. So that's why some article I will show you later. Cancer cell is very selfish, which is exactly how the sin started in the Bible. S-I-N, I in that S-I-N, I in the middle, and that's where the problem was. Now, if you look at more here, this is a Reed Sternberg cell. Those two names are pathologists, and they actually had a lymphoma patient with a lymphoma, and actually it's actual slides. And all the bluish type of cells, they're all sort of uniform. This is a normal cell, but they're this dark brownish color. These are all cancer cells. And look at the how is uniform in the normal cell, but the other is not. And you have several of them have more than one head in the nucleus, and as I shared before with the other slides. And their boundary is what? Their boundary is very irregular. Boundary is very irregular. I'm glad that at least America now, we might have some clear boundary where nothing can in and out without true purpose. Now, one thing very interesting is when a cell develops cancer cell, it has two choices, two decisions, or two, we call destiny. Either you survive in that environment of our human body, and usually they do that because they want to have one of the first things they do is they spread a lot of branches to draw all the blood from other sources. So they're very self-egoistic way to get all the food themselves. And so that's their starting point. But if the cancer cell is not detected by immune system, like T lymphocytes, and they kind of survive, or sometimes they are devoured by the immune cell. So if they are died, okay, that's good for our body. But if they are survive, they are able to conquer the host cell. What happened? If host cell dies, who dies too? Cancer cell dies too. So whatever way they choose, the end result is a death. End result is they themselves actually die. So like as I shared before Sabbath school, you know, Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, the devil knows his time is short and he came down to us and raised, and he's trying to what? Like a kamikaze spirit. You know what the kamikaze spirit? When during World War II, the Japanese pilot in the airplane, he knows he has to die, but he's actually not only die himself, but he actually go to the American ship with his plane. And this type of, cancer cell is such a mystery in a way, because it never fulfilled its purpose to survive, because it eventually dead. So now we actually know